Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you have wabi-sabi? Let's talk about it and figure it out. Hey, hey, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. It is great to have you here with us. We have a fun lifestyle article to discuss with a funny title here, and we'll talk a little bit about this in a second. But first, let me introduce my guest in the studio with me. Hey, Heather, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It is great to have you. We have a fun article today. We were talking before we were recording that this is kind of a interesting topic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly fun to say wabi-sabi, right?
Yeah, totally. Wabi-sabi. Actually, I have a little gift for you. I prepared this for this article, if you take a look at that.
Ooh, let me see.
What is it that I just gave you?
So, he just gave me a packet of wasabi.
Yes, I gave you. Do you like wasabi?
I do like wasabi.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
very generous.
Wasabi is very, very good. It's something we often eat with our sushi, right? And that's what we'll talk a little bit about later. Why do you think I gave you the wasabi there?
Because in the article, it references, it's sounding similar to wasabi.
Yeah.
Wasabi, wabi-sabi.
Right.
Maybe if you say it really fast, I can see why someone might confuse the two.
Exactly, yeah. When I saw this article, I was like, wabi-sabi, is that talking about the condiment? But no, it's not the condiment. It is actually a Japanese philosophy. And we'll talk a little bit about more about what wabi-sabi is. But first, let's read the first part of the article so we kind of get an idea of what we're talking about. And then we'll come back and discuss. So let's start at the top with the title, What is Your Wabi-Sabi?
What is your wabi-sabi? The attraction of imperfection. A snaggletooth. A gap in someone's smile. A birthmark or mole. What do each of these facial features have in common? They all have wabi-sabi. Not to be confused with the sushi accompaniment, wabi-sabi is a Japanese aesthetic philosophy that finds beauty in imperfection and the natural process of aging. Something we could all use a little more of in the age of preventative facelifts. The concept celebrates imperfection and the natural wear and tear that occurs with the passage of time. Whether that's a gently worn step, a chipped mug, or smile lines.
All right, so what is your wabi-sabi? Now, that is a fun term, and we're talking about the attraction of imperfection. That's an interesting statement there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we usually find imperfection attractive?
Well, it makes me think of the phrase, like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Mm,
so maybe I think something is beautiful and you might look at the same thing and not see what I see.
Right. Yeah.
So,
this is true. Yeah. So we have some examples of imperfection here, right? We have a snaggletooth. What's a snaggletooth exactly?
So a snaggletooth is a tooth that is broken or maybe slightly out of place. It might be a little crooked.
Yeah.
It sticks out from your smile.
Right. Yeah. So a tooth that maybe is not quite in place. You know, I think there was a time, and even still now, a lot of people spend a lot of money on braces. Did you have braces ever?
No, I've been pretty fortunate that my teeth are relatively straight.
Yeah, you have very nice teeth. but there's people in the world who have, you know, a tooth that's maybe grown awkwardly, where it kind of sticks out. That's kind of the snaggle tooth. Another thing is a gap in someone's smile. I remember many years ago, there was a show on TV that was, you know, about models, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like they actually paid to get a model's teeth, like the gap in the tooth actually made wider, right? Because that was considered attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something interesting. And then a birthmark or a mole. So that can be on your face, it can be on your leg, somewhere in your body. The question is, what do each of these facial features have in common? And what does the article say?
So it says that they are all wabi-sabi, basically. They are things that are maybe outside of the realm of what we might view as conventionally attractive.
Yeah. Usually when we talk about attractiveness or beauty, there's a certain concept of like perfection, right? You know, beautiful skin, we often use the term flawless skin, right? Where no pores, no wrinkles, no dark spots. Flawlessness, right? That's kind of the standard for beauty. But here we're talking about wabi-sabi, which is more about imperfection. Now, as we were talking about earlier, wabi-sabi sounds a little bit like the Japanese wasabi, right? Which is the sushi accompaniment that we're talking about here. But what it really is a Japanese aesthetic philosophy. So what are we talking about when we're talking about an aesthetic?
So when we think about aesthetic, we think about things that are connected with beauty and the study of what is beautiful.
Right. And the thing is, though, with aesthetic, it's more just like kind of the way something looks or the look of something or someone. And, you know, there can be many different types of aesthetic, okay? And I think that phrase you used earlier, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I think it's very appropriate here because, you know, what one person might consider to be aesthetic or an aesthetic that they like, another person might not.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting how this word has actually evolved through online culture. It's been floating around for the last few years, and it's kind of used in ways to, like, explain a person's personal style or what they like. They
right.
might see something at the store and be like, oh, that fits my aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that fits the look that I want to have.
Right.
So we have the traditional definition of it essentially just being pleasing in appearance, but then we also have this new coming way that we use this word.
Right. Yeah. So we're talking about wabi-sabi, and this is a Japanese aesthetic philosophy. And what makes this philosophy different than other beauty aesthetics out there?
Well, when we think of maybe the West, we think about the want for perfection as far as fighting against the natural process of aging. So
right.
going and getting facials or going to get these preventative facelifts so we can stay youthful looking is something that the West in particular really ideals.
Right. And that's pretty much the opposite of what we're talking about here, right? The Japanese aesthetic philosophy of wabi-sabi is actually finding beauty in the imperfection, right? And the natural process of aging. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, celebrating those crow's feet, the little lines around your eyes from smiling too much, or, you know, the smile lines that you might have, or even like white hair, you know? I think a lot of people, you know, my wife is often, you know, complaining about her white hair. And I'm like, no, you know, white hair, the Bible says the white hair is a sign of glory, right? It's a sign of wisdom. It means you've lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of celebrating these, what we call imperfections, and actually seeing the beauty in the wonkiness, in the not so perfect, right? And then as you mentioned, it's something that we all could use a little more of, right? Rather than having to fit the ideal concept of beauty that's often pushed through the beauty magazines that we see out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, the concept celebrates imperfection and the natural wear and tear that occurs with the passage of time, right? So it's, again, as we were talking, the celebration of this idea that, you know, a wrinkle here or there, you know, white hair here or there, that means that you've lived. It means you've really gone through life and you've experienced life. And they give a couple of examples of that here. What are some of the things that are mentioned at the end of this section here?
It says whether that's a lightly worn step, a chipped mug, or smile lines.
Yeah. So it's not just beauty. It's not just physical, right? It's not just about people, right? Like a gently worn step is something, maybe it's in your house, okay? A chipped mug. Right. And actually reminds me of another Japanese philosophy, which is actually a part or not philosophy, an art form that is a part of wabi-sabi called kintsugi. Right. It's have you heard of kintsugi?
I believe I have. Yes.
Yeah. It's where they use gold to fix, you know, cracked or chipped pottery or plates and things like that. And it creates this beautiful piece of art. And it always reminds me that sometimes your broken parts or the parts that you feel are damaged can actually create incredible beauty, right? And that's also a part of this wabi-sabi, right? So a chipped mug or smile lines, right? And we were talking about the crow's feet or the lines around your mouth as well. The smile lines, it means you've lived. It means you've laughed. It means you've had fun. And these are beautiful things to celebrate and not to be ashamed of, right? Okay, let's continue on with this next section. We'll start with where it says viral appeal.
Viral appeal. A sound featuring the term has since gone viral on TikTok. Nearly 500,000 videos have been posted under the viral audio, originating from the animated sitcom King of the Hill. In one episode, the character Bobby Hill picks up a rose and says, "I like how mine's a little off-center. It's got wabi-sabi." That clip has since been repurposed by users celebrating everything from crooked teeth to aquiline noses as wabi-sabi. As with any concept that takes off on TikTok, some of the subtlety of the original philosophy has been lost as it spreads online. Yet, in an age of unrealistic beauty standards, looks maxing, and aesthetic microtrends, one that celebrates individuality and acceptance of perceived flaws is a step in the right direction.
All right, so how did this term wabi-sabi gain such notoriety recently? Well, as with many things, social media has a big part to do with it, okay? So viral appeal. It says a sound featuring the term has since gone viral on TikTok, and nearly 500,000 videos have been posted under the viral audio. And where did this audio originate from?
So the audio originated from the animated sitcom King of the Hill.
Have you ever watched King of the Hill?
Yes, I have.
Are you a fan of King of the Hill?
I will admit I am a bit of a fan.
Yeah.
For our audience, just to give a little bit of additional context, it's a show that ran in the United States from 1997 and ended, I believe, in 2010 and was recently picked back up. So you can find it on Disney Plus, but not trying to plug it. But but basically, the premise of the show is about Hank Hill, who is a middle-aged dad living in Texas. And Hank is more conservative in nature. And the show depicts how he interacts with the changing world around him and how his worldview is constantly challenged, particularly the culture clash that he has with his son, Bobby. And so the sound that comes from this viral video is about them working together for this rose competition.
Right.
Like, they're working together, and Hank is very to the book, and he's very much like, we need to choose this rose because it fits the aesthetic.
Right.
But Bobby chooses one that he feels is more beautiful because it isn't perfect,
right,
and it has this wabi-sabi. So the show basically is always Hank having his worldview challenged.
Right.
And so I think that even though some things might not have aged as well, it's still overall a fairly wholesome show.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, and I love that description here that Bobby Hill says. You know, I know mine's a little off-center. It's got wabi-sabi, and just like you said, Heather, that's the exact reason why he thought it was beautiful. It was because of its imperfection, right? And I think when this audio was discovered and people started sharing it, it kind of gave people permission to celebrate the things that maybe most of the time that they're trying to hide, right? Especially when we're talking about social media. A lot of times people try to use, you know, filters, or they, you know, try to edit things to make things look very perfect. But this is actually people celebrating the things that make them not as quote-unquote perfect, right? And so a couple of examples here are crooked teeth to aquiline noses as wabi-sabi. Now, this term aquiline, what are we talking about, this aquiline nose?
So if we think about an aquiline nose, it's a nose that is curved and it could be hooked like an eagle's beak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think when I was studying this article, what came to mind almost was that, like, the traditional concept of, like, a witch's nose, mm-hmm. you know? Like, if you think of, like, the Wicked Witch in Wizard of Oz, that kind of nose, mm-hmm. right? And for some, that could be beautiful and regal, but for some, that can be considered, oh, well, you know, because it's often, like I said, associated with the Wicked Witch, right? Mm-hmm. So some people might not see that as beautiful, right? But they are now using this sound, this wabi-sabi clip, this audio, to celebrate that, right? And yesterday, as I was studying this article, I also saw another video of a mother, you know, and her hook was, people tell me not to have kids, right? But then she used this clip to show that even though maybe her tummy is loose from having kids and not as tight, and, you know, her abs are maybe not as prominent, but she's celebrating her loose, you know, skin on her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It's her wabi-sabi, right? This is what, you know, this is what brought her kids into the world, right? And so she might not have the fit abs and the perfect tummy, but it's beautiful because, hey, this is what brought my daughters or my kids into the world, right? So the next paragraph here says, as with any concept that takes off on TikTok, what's going on here?
So basically, it's saying that with any TikTok audio that goes viral, some of the original philosophy gets lost in its meaning as it spreads wider and wider online.
Mm-hmm.
But in an age of unrealistic beauty standards, looks maxing, and aesthetic microtrends, one that celebrates individuality and acceptance of perceived flaws is a step in the right direction.
Yeah. So I don't know about you, but like whenever I look at social media, sometimes it gives me a lot of pressure, right? Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of guys with like perfect abs, and you know, and I'm sure for girls, you know, you've got the beauty influencers, and they've got the perfect eyebrows and the skin and the makeup, and there's a little bit of a pressure to kind of look that way as well. And as it says here, it is unrealistic. It is unrealistic because not everything you see online is real, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it's lighting. Sometimes it's like they just happen to do something. Sometimes it's a filter. And there's a lot of pressure to kind of to look a certain way, but it's not realistic, right? So what this is saying is that even though maybe some of the subtleties of what wabi-sabi really is about is kind of getting lost as it's getting shared online, the idea here is that we're celebrating allowing people to be individuals, mm-hmm. right? And not having to be perfect, right? There's a term here that says looks maxing. What is looks maxing?
Well, it's an informal word that basically means the efforts that someone makes to improve their physical appearance. I've seen it used across the board for everyone, but this is particularly for young men.
Yeah.
But it's basically like pushing yourself to the limit to max out how attractive you could potentially look.
Yeah, yeah. And so something, I don't know if you guys have heard of the term mewing. Have you heard of the term mewing?
I have heard that. It's kind of, it's creepy.
Yeah, so what is mewing exactly?
From what I understand, from what I have seen, it's when you suck, it's something about like sucking in like your jaw in a way that makes your jawline look very chiseled.
Right, yeah. So it's basically, I think you push your tongue against the roof of your mouth and it's basically a facial exercise, right? And the facial exercise then helps you to kind of tone your facial muscles. And like you said, then your jawline is more chiseled or more defined, right? And so I think this is part of the whole looks maxing culture, trying to make yourself look more attractive and get more followers in a way, right? And so wabi-sabi is kind of the antidote to that in a way, celebrating your imperfections and your individuality. And really that is kind of what makes us all different, the idea that you don't have to look like everybody else. And the things that you feel like are maybe a little bit imperfect, that's what makes you unique, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's finish up the rest of this article. Let's start where it says chasing beauty.
Chasing beauty. In 2019, The New Yorker declared it the age of Instagram face. 6 years on, Days wrote, "We have entered the age of TikTok face. Aesthetic inflation, or the normalization of more and more extreme cosmetic interventions over time, defined by Flesh World writer Jessica DeFino, has eaten our collective brain. The pervasiveness of the pursuit of aesthetic perfection is a vicious feedback loop that also bleeds into our offline reality, with plenty of research finding a correlation between time spent online and desire for plastic surgery. If you've noticed the faces you see online slowly morphing into one and the same, you are not losing your mind. These days, we could all stand to embrace more wabi-sabi."
We could all stand to embrace more wabi-sabi. What do you think? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we should. I don't know if we necessarily will. I do think it is challenging at times to find beauty in your imperfections.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're all very critical of ourselves. When you look in the mirror, you can nitpick this and that, and it can be hard. Right. So let's talk a little bit about where this maybe all started, right? So we go all the way back to 2019, and the New Yorker declared something. What did the New Yorker declare?
It declared it the age of Instagram face.
Right. And then 6 years later, Dazed wrote, "We have entered the age of TikTok face." So what are these things? What is it talking about, Instagram face and TikTok face?
I believe it's referencing that with the spread of short-form media and accessibility to everyone, people are starting to look the same. They're starting to look similar because everyone is looking into similar procedures or methods to look the same.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes it can even be as simple as like using a filter, right, mm-hmm. where you put on a filter and the filter creates kind of... And some of those filters are scary, right? It just completely changes the way a person looks, you know? And it makes you look beautiful. It makes you look really handsome, but it's not really you, right? And then, what you were saying is more extreme is people then take it offline and actually go under the knife and they actually do cosmetic interventions, mm-hmm. right? I recently watched a video on YouTube where a cosmetic surgeon, he went down the line and he tried to guess like who had the most surgeries or operations done among the guests. And you know, sometimes it can be really hard to tell, mm-hmm. right? And some of that pressure comes from social media, right? And there's an interesting term here. It says that the normalization of more and more extreme cosmetic interventions over time, defined by Flesh World writer Jessica DeFino, has eaten our collective brain. Now, that's an interesting term. What does this phrase, eaten our collective brain, mean? What do you think?
The way that I interpret it is that because we're being exposed to this way of being, we are essentially desensitized and we start to believe that this warped sense of self is normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically, it's just mentally taxing because we're so exposed to it all the time and it just eats up our brain power, mm-hmm. right? And so because it's just constantly in our face all the time, it just kind of eats away at our brains where we're not able to really discern what's good and bad and what's right and wrong anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? And it says here, the pervasiveness of the pursuit of aesthetic perfection is a vicious feedback loop that also bleeds into our offline reality. What are we talking about when we're talking about a feedback loop?
So if we think of just the word loop, it's something that is like a continuous, almost like a circle.
Yeah.
So a feedback loop is it's you put it out into the ether and then it returns back to you essentially and it just continues.
Yeah. So basically the output of something circles back and then affects its own input,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you look at the social media and then it tells you this is a certain kind of beauty. And so you try to go and you try to fit that type of beauty and then you create your content and you put it on the face, you put it on social media, and that just kind of feeds that whole loop, right? And just creates this cycle that happens. And it bleeds into our offline reality. So like I said, when you're looking at these perfect people online, all of a sudden you feel like you need to start meeting that kind of standard, right? And so it says here, plenty of research finding a correlation between time spent online and desire for plastic surgery. So it used to be, you know, I'm a bit older than you, but I feel like we're about the same, right? Where, you know, you'd look at a magazine or you'd see something online and you're like, oh, that's kind of what I aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's even more prevalent with social media. Would you agree with that?
I definitely think growing up, maybe not so much online as kids are nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I certainly had moments of, like, insecurity or when I compared myself to maybe my peers or maybe famous people in magazines. But definitely, I think it is a lot more challenging now when you just constantly have access to this sort of information.
Right, yeah. There's an interesting last sentence here. It says, if you've noticed the faces you see online slowly morphing into one and the same, you are not losing your mind. Right. And I think this is kind of a joke in a lot of cultures, you know, where plastic surgery is very common. You know, I think of not to put down South Korea, but I know South Korea, a lot of people there do. Didn't you spend time in Korea, right? Didn't you?
Yes, I did. So I did spend time in Korea 10 years ago.
Right.
And I did not have money, so I did not partake in plastic surgery. But I do think it has ramped up over the years.
It's where a big part of that culture.
It's so accessible there.
Yeah.
It's so accessible. It's relatively very safe there because
right.
of the high standards.
Yeah.
And it's frankly more affordable than most
right.
places. So I think it's easy to get sucked into that sort of feedback loop of like feeling like you need that.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, to be clear, we're not saying that cosmetic surgery or that stuff is bad or wrong. You know, what we're saying is just like maybe it's not necessary, you know?
No, I definitely think that if it's something that you want to do, definitely think about it for a while. Just don't go and do it.
Right.
But I feel like there's some gray area that if you're unhappy about something and it's safe to do so,
right.
I think it's safe to go maybe at least speak to a doctor or talk to your peers about it.
For sure, yeah. And I mean, what I was saying was the joke is that in Korea or in like LA, you know, it's just like everybody looks the same. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and they often joke like, that person, you know, that person is not a part of our culture because they've got a different nose than everybody else,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what it's saying here is if you feel like everybody's starting to look the same, you're not losing your mind. It is a part of the culture nowadays. But we could all use a little bit more wabi-sabi. So what we're trying to say is we want to encourage all of you to embrace your differences. Don't feel the pressure to have to look a certain way. As long as you're healthy, you're happy, you know, and you're doing well, just embrace. And maybe the wabi-sabi that you have, the little crooked nose or little, you know, slanted eye that you have or the hooded eye, whatever, that you feel like makes you look weird, like maybe that's what makes you special. Maybe that's what makes you stand out. All right, friends, that's all the time we have for today. Hope you enjoyed this article. What is your wabi-sabi? We want to hear from you. Let us know. And let us also know what you think about this whole concept of wabi-sabi. Until then, this is Campbell.
And this is Heather.
And it's time for us to say goodbye. Take care.
Bye.